Are you ready to break the silence and embrace the transformative journey of perimenopause? Well, you're in the right place. We are Natalie and Lisa, your hosts, and this is the podcast that's rewriting the script on perimenopause.
Join us in embracing the strength within, awakening dormant power, and closing the knowledge gap. We're here to inspire great health and ensure every woman is seen and heard.
Get ready for expert insights, relatable stories, and a community that gets it. Unleash your perimenopause power. It's time to own your story.
Well, hello, listeners, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Perimenopause Power. Hello, Lise, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Nat. Yourself?
I am good. I have to say I'm pretty excited about today's episode because we are doing something a little bit different and special because we are turning the spotlight on ourselves this time and we have your wonderful friend in Rose Greco who is going to be interviewing us.
Yep, the wonderful Rose. We love her dearly and there is no one more perfect for this than Rose.
Yes,
welcome. Thanks, ladies. Thank you. I'll jump in. I'm delighted to be here and I can't wait to ask some questions and shine that spotlight on both of you.
Oh, thank you. We're thrilled to have you. And I guess with that, the floor is all yours, Rose.
So where do we start, Lisa and Nat? I've got the privilege of asking questions, so I guess the best thing to do is just dive straight in. So looking back on the past 2.5 years, I believe that's how long you've been doing this wonderful podcast for, how has your work around menstrual cycles, menopause, and women's health evolved?
It's a big question.
It is a big question.
It is a big question. It's almost like, where on earth do we start? But I guess probably first and foremost, and you and I, Lise, would definitely say that we have seen a formidable rise in the awareness and conversation around menstrual cycles and menopause. When we started this podcast, September 2021, it was probably very rarely spoken about, wasn't it, Lise?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas fast forward to today, there's definitely a lot more awareness. There's a lot more talking about it. There's a lot more comfort as well around talking about it. But that's also not to say that we still have a very long way to go.
And I think there's comfort and there's relief. But yes, long way to go. But, you know, I've had a number of people say, oh, thank God you're talking about it. And I remember early on, I'd be talking with, you know, close friends and they'd be whispering and I go, why are you whispering? You know, like, because, you know, we shouldn't be whispering about it. So, you know, we should just be talking about it like we talk about everything else. But there still is such a taboo, a denial, a bit of scary sort of thoughts that a lot of women are coping with and men, actually. In fact, I actually find a lot of men are talking a lot more about it as well, which is a really good, wonderful thing.
Yes. And I find too that just on a personal note, it's made it a little bit easier for my husband to explain what I do.
Yes.
He can say she talks about menopause. Whereas previously.
Go listen to her podcast.
Yeah. Didn't know how to explain my work and the different things I did.
Absolutely. And I actually, if I may just take it one step back, what made you both decide that a podcast was the way to go? Like it's, you know, talking about something and ongoing, a topic that was taboo that is now becoming a lot more mainstream and accepted. How did you both get to a podcast?
Nat had been wanting to do a podcast personally herself for a long time. And it was a bit of a, you know, one of those things for Nat. Nat's fantastic at doing goal setting, much better than I am. And she was the real instigator here in getting it going. And I said, yeah, it sounds like a great idea. And I thought, far out, where do we start? But, Nat was really the one that sort of got it going. And you know, I'm so glad that she did because, you know, look at where we are. We've had such wonderful people reach out to us that, you know, have been really, not humbled, we're humbled, but really happy that we're sharing this information.
And I will say that, yes, it was planted in my mind a few years prior, actually, and I had done a little bit of research and looking into starting a podcast and wasn't quite sure in what. And it's funny, as you were talking, Lisa, I was reflecting back before I went into my own business, I always had this yearning desire to have my own business, but similarly, I didn't know in what. So I've just sort of, I guess, things have just evolved and you eventually find the thing and the topic that is your gateway to creating what it is that you want, particularly in a business context. And for me, I felt like it was at the time, it was just a bit of a no-brainer that there's no platform to offer this education and talk about it. And for us, creating perimenopause power, it's just evolved so easily because we are so passionate about it. And it's allowed us to just bring our expertise, bring other women into the fold and start to really shift that mindset around these topics. And I have to say, I just love it. I often joke how as a kid I wanted to be a singer and I loved just using pretend microphones or real microphones. And now I get to sit behind a microphone talking.
Well, you know, Nat, we used to use a brush, my sister and I, growing up. We put the LP record on and, you know, we'd get two brushes and sit there on a Saturday afternoon in the lounge room and have our concert. Mum and Dad must have thought we were crazy.
Oh, no, I do that. I still do that today with my daughter or the TV remote. Yeah.
Isn't that the essence of it all? It's so true. So, you know, 2.5 years, that's pretty impressive, and it's still going strong and is only going to get bigger and better. My question is, I'm curious just to know, you know, you've interviewed some and had conversations with some fabulous people along the way and delved into some topics and, you know, areas that have otherwise probably not been spoken about previously. And what have been some of your key learnings or insights that you've gained over the journey of 2.5 years?
For me personally, I think what really resonates is just how entrenched that taboo mindset is around women's bodies, our cycles, phases, in this case, menopause. And it's given me the opportunity to reflect on my own personal experiences as well, because I remember as an 18-year-old, I couldn't wait to get on the pill to then, you know, manipulate my body, not have a period, choose what I wanted to do across my 20s. And I can't help but feel disappointed and saddened that that was my mindset back then. But of course, I knew no different because that was the norm and that's what everybody did. So for me, I've just had such an appreciation around just how powerful our bodies are and what we can do with it. And I just never want to silence. I want to ensure that my daughter also has the opportunity to know and learn about her body and make good decisions for her with the information. But just seeing how entrenched that taboo mindset is has sort of blown me away a little bit. And just seeing where that's come from, that it's not something that has just happened today. It has been a buildup of generation over generation.
Mm. I echo all of what Nat's just said. And I suppose a key learning for me, I don't know if this, but the word sadness comes to mind because I'm flabbergasted that we don't know how our bodies function and we've got no idea. And so when things are happening to us, we just automatically think there is something incredibly wrong with me. But, you know, a lot of that time, you know, it could be a really bad, not bad, it could be some type of hormonal imbalance that we can actually, if we listen to our bodies, we can actually help correct that. And the sadness also comes forward from young women, young girls not having the education, and boys actually, boys and girls not having the education around how their bodies work. You know, we don't have that education in school. And then when we head to work and we're so busy doing life, and really that's the realization has really struck me that education, the only place it can continue is in the workplace. Yes, you'll get people that are really great at doing their own research and they'll, you know, investigate. But for the majority of people, they don't understand, they don't seek the answers to what's going on when they feel a little bit off or things like that. And a lot of it comes to just the physiology of our body and understanding it. And that starts way back when we are young. And I think that's been a key learning for me that's made me quite sad around that. You know, I've got nieces who, you know, we talk freely about them. I've bought some great books for them to read. And I just hope that they'll take those learnings on. And even my boys, we're talking menstrual health, we're talking about menopause all the time. I'll be in the car on a call with Nat and we're talking menstrual and menopause and they don't bat an eyelid. They'll ask the questions and hopefully I'm raising young men that will be a little bit wiser when it comes to their partner and vice versa.
It sort of takes me back to that concept around women's bodies and our cycles are our health report card. We've mentioned that before on the podcast, isn't it? And just how powerful that is as a report card, because it is, it's a signal to say, all right, something is perhaps not working as it should be, or something is up. And now it's my signal to look at, okay, what is it?
You know, that's a good point, Nat, because actually what scares me even more about that comment is that so many women are on birth control for whatever reasons, but they're all skipping their period when in fact they need that period to give them that report card around how their health is tracking. But that, again, it comes back to the education. Certain professionals are saying, oh no, that's okay. It's not okay. But we've seen it, we're shunning it, we're blocking it out rather than seeing it as the positive that it is. And look, you know, I say this all the time, if only I knew back then what I know now, I would have done things so much different also with my own body, you know, 30 years ago. But hopefully they're the learnings and insights that we can, through the work that we're doing, to impart to others as well.
So what have been some of the biggest challenges you've faced then? If you had to really give us some examples or sort of shine a light on some of those challenges that you've faced in addressing menstrual health and menopause issues, and how have you worked to overcome them?
Another big question. It's, you know, probably the biggest challenge has been that taboo mindset. And when we started this work back in 2020, we often joke that we had virtual doors shut in our face at the time.
But it wasn't a joke.
You can joke now, but it wasn't a joke.
No, I know. But it most definitely happened. Sorry to interrupt, but like it was just so obvious.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, again, looking back, I think it was just a sign of the times, wasn't it, that no one was really talking about it. It was such a foreign topic. And even to think about bringing this into the workplace, it was almost like hands up to say, whoa, no way am I talking about this in the workplace. So we've had to overcome that mindset that this isn't a workplace topic. And what we did is we created a business case around menopause in the workplace, and we pulled together a lot of research, a lot of our own research, to paint a picture to address why this is a workplace topic. To then, I think about another challenge is as a business, as a small business. I mean, that in itself is a challenge when there's two of you with limited funding and limited resources, and you're just equipped with this passion and this drive to make change and to give women the best opportunity to live their most healthiest, thriving life. That's a challenge in itself when you're trying to shift the mindset and really take the thinking from taboo to this is normal and this is a great opportunity. What about you, Lise?
Yeah, I tend to agree with what you're saying. I think for me, the business side of it has definitely been a challenge. You know, we've both walked away of our own accord and our own decision-making to create this business. And, you know, I'll be truthful in saying there's been a few times we've sort of thought, are we doing the right thing here? Do we need to look at where we're at and go and do something else? But the problem is that you know what you know, and there is such a big job out there that us and, you know, some other beautiful other businesses are also doing a similar thing. And it is something that really needs to change. It's, you know, Nat and I used to say we've got to change the world, right? But, yeah, you know, if we can be a little bit a part of that or a big part of that in changing mindsets and education around what we're doing and what we're trying to help women understand about their bodies, then it's all worth it. It's just sometimes it can be a little bit far out. Are we doing the right thing? So, but, you know, if I was to walk away, I don't want to have that, oh, what if we kept going? So we're keeping going.
Your work is so important, and it is the education piece, even just creating normal conversations around topics that were otherwise taboo, that it's huge, and it's hard work, and you're doing the heavy lifting, and I've witnessed both of you doing it over the years, and I'm just so delighted for you both in terms of what you've achieved and that you're continuing to grow. And can you share some examples of the impact your work has had on women's understanding and management of their menstrual cycles and menopause symptoms?
Yes, I love this question.
No, go Nat, all good.
And the one thing that comes to my mind, or the first thing that comes to my mind, is when we did that three-part series with quite a big organisation, and we had a conversation with one of the attendees of the session who was actually on our podcast, Michelle Owen, and I loved how she shared the story that after the workshop, a few different women came into the lift, and she just said there was just a sense of, I see you. She said they didn't even have to speak. They just looked at each other and they just smiled and they just nodded and they just acknowledged that, I see you, because they had a new level of understanding about menopause, and they had a level of understanding around how they might be able to support themselves but also each other as well. And that is probably in itself is just such a positive impact or result from our work, which I often think about.
Yeah, and just building on from that too, what it did in that particular situation too, it opened up the conversation in the workplace. Mm. So people were buzzing and talking to each other. It wasn't a silent conversation that was just being had with one person to themselves. They were actually talking to each other. And we all, you know, a lot of organisations or individuals will say, well, how do you start? And we often say, you just got to start talking about it. But what the education did was give them the information to be able to start that chatter. And, you know, and then that's what our work here is done or started. And I think one of the other thing is that I've loved is just different organisations that we have spoken to is just the willingness of men to come and learn and listen, to come along and learn and listen. And a lot of them say, thank you. I now understand what my mother, my wife, my daughter, my auntie is going through. I didn't even know any of that. And, you know, we've had a few men on the podcast, and Nigel Denby comes to mind, where he, you know, he fully witnessed his mother's menopause. And that was one of the reasons why he went into the menopause, amazing menopause work that he's doing in the UK. That's been really powerful as well. And to be able to talk to other men also freely and you know, encourage them to talk with us has been, yeah, truly amazing to witness.
Mm. And also I think with the line around the men too, we see two different sides for women around their attendance at the workshops. So sometimes we'll go into a workshop and women love that there is men on the call. But on the flip side, there's also women who feel really uncomfortable that there are men on the call. And so, again, I think there's been a real opening and awareness that this is a collective response to this phase of life. And as Louise Newson has said, in the UK, 50% of the population will go through menopause. The other 50% will know someone who will go through it. So there's been some of those barriers that have also come down too. And I can think again about that same workshop series that we did. The second workshop that we did, one of the male employees actually opened up the workshop and spoke about his experience of seeing his mum go through menopause. And again, you just saw those barriers come down and that appreciation that women felt seen and they felt heard, and they loved hearing this gentleman talk about his experience or where he was touched with menopause, which is just phenomenal. And it's those little things that really do keep Lisa and I going, where you just see those little wins along the way because you can see the impact unfolding, which is, yeah, very heartlifting.
It's inspirational stuff and it's very important work. And 50% and 50%, you know, those figures, those facts speak for themselves. So let's focus on your hopes and goals for the future of your work in supporting women's health during menstrual cycles and menopause, and supporting men as well. You know, it's both. It absolutely is. So what are some of your hopes and goals?
So for me, when I come into my own business, because I come out of the typical 9-to-5 Monday to Friday job after I had my daughter, and I remember just feeling like stress and health and well-being wasn't a topic at the time. And I'm going back, 8-9 years ago. And I remember when I went into my own health and wellness coaching business, and I said, by the time my daughter is in full-time work, I want to ensure that health and well-being is not a tick and a flick, and it is actually part of the culture and a very normal offering that she's going to be seen for who she is and what she needs at any point in her life. And now I feel like we've taken that to another level, that she's going to be seen for who she is and have the opportunity to harness her cycles and her phases and really use that to support her career aspirations and her leadership and all the things that she wants to do in life as well. So for me, that is something that still drives me every single day, that I just don't want these topics to be tick and flicks, to be taboo, to be stigmatized. I just want that education and that awareness to be real and very tangible.
Look, a few things for me. I obviously want to make sure that I've got two boys, and you know, one of them's a young man now, and I just want to make sure that, you know, that education is happening and that they are across what is happening. They're going to have a partner in life some, you know, at some point, and whoever that is, it's quite likely that they will go through you know, these phases, and they will go through these phases. And I think it's important that everyone has an understanding, male, female, or however it is that, you know, that you describe yourself. The other thing is, we've often heard the term, why would I talk about menopause at work? It's career suicide. And whilst I totally understand where women are coming from with that, it's that mindset that's holding us back. And if, again, if we could actually normalize this conversation so that everyone feels comfortable about talking about it, menopause, menstrual health, that would just be amazing. Because, you know, 10 years ago we weren't talking about mental health, and now look at it. It's a conversation that we freely have in the workplace, at home, that is not shamed, or, you know, there's a stigma around it. It's just totally accepted. And years ago, we weren't talking about parental leave or pregnancy. You know, when women got married and they had children, they had to leave the workforce. And now look at where we are in relation to how we're managing that for women and men. You know, men can take leave and actually have an active role in their child's life when they're first born, or whenever they choose to, you know, uptake that. They're all wonderful inroads that we have allowed, and, you know, that our country has brought in. So that's career suicide. Yes, I understand, but it doesn't need to be that way. So we need to normalize it. And then that means that, you know, the likes of Natalie's daughter, my children, my nieces coming through are living and breathing a normalized work environment where everything is discussed, including menstrual cycles and menopause.
So good, Lise.
What you do so important. It's you know, you've planted the seed and you're starting to build the dialogue. Mm-hmm. We've seen it now with paternity leave in Australia. There's a lot of things that have taken time, and there's so much more work to be done in this field and in this area. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, are there any specific areas or topics within women's health that you plan to focus on more in the coming years?
So for us, particularly today and into the future, that community element is really pivotal. And we obviously just launched our community Let's Talk. But what we're seeing, and this is why this topic is such a big topic and it's a long road, because we are having to change so much because there are so many elements that come into it. But one of the big things that have come up for us that we have seen and witnessed, and we released our survey recently to learn a little bit about social connections and that feeling of loneliness and isolation, and they are real. And women are feeling lonely. They might be, and I just want to preface too that being alone and loneliness are two different things. Women could be surrounded by friends and family and work colleagues, so they're not alone, but they feel lonely. And they're feeling lonely because they're not actually having the opportunity to show their true selves or bring their true selves to work or to their family, because we are shunned by the topic of menopause or the taboo. So that loneliness is real. And so for us, bringing a community of women, and if it's men down the track as well, where we can have those conversations that we are just feeling like we can't have. And if I could share some stats from our survey, because it's still just, I look at it very often and I just think, you know, this is such a big part of it that we're just not talking about. So from our survey, 52% of the women described menopause as an emotional roller coaster. 40% of them had said that their social connections or interactions had changed as a result. And another 21% said that they had somewhat changed. So essentially, that's over 60% of women who have felt some impact of social connections or interactions as a result. And then what was great was that women highlighted that they want other women to talk with. They want the education and they want to be able to go to a place where they can get all of this information and connection and actually understand and know what is happening and why they are going through it. So definitely in the short term, that community piece is really pivotal for us in bringing women together, because we need a safe space to have these conversations so that we can build up our, not courage so much, but at least build our confidence that we can have these conversations and we're not going to be shut down. And we can then have that confidence to bring those conversations into other areas as well. So that's a big focus for us, is just, let's have the conversation. Lise?
All of that, all of the above. And I think when Nat's talking about it, talking that through, the one thing that comes to mind is the stat, and Nat, I hope I've got it right. I think it's 47 to 51, women 47 to 51 have the highest suicide rate. And so the mind boggles that even though, you know, we often hear stories of people that seem to have life sorted, and then something terrible happens, and that loneliness, feeling lonely while still having a life, is a real thing. And then if women feel like they've got nowhere to go, that's really scary. So that's where that community can make such a big change in relation to how they navigate this time of their life, going into it while they're in it and coming out the other side. And sometimes, you know, we know that perimenopause and menopause, it lasts for over 10 years. So that's a long time to be feeling lonely. So that's why community is just so friggin' important for women today.
Mm. Yeah, beautifully said, Lise. And it is a very alarming stat too. And the other thing too that we obviously are very passionate about is this lifestyle medicine concept. We want to continue helping women to have choice and understanding around an array of different things that they can do to support their health, not just today, but for the future as well. And we've said before, women are living 30 to 40 years beyond that one day of menopause. And there's an opportunity right now for us for the taking to look at our nutrition, to look at our movement, to look at our sleep, to look at our stress, and just to understand what is it that I need that's going to support me today, but also support my body, my mind, my heart, my gut in the future as well. So, you know, community and lifestyle medicine, along with the continuing education around women's bodies, it's almost like status quo for us, just, you know, keeping that work going.
We are living in a society where the quick fix is the thing that is front of mind for everyone. And lifestyle medicine or therapy is not as sexy as a quick fix. Yet that's what will actually help a lot of women and men actually navigate life. And it's around doing some work around what that looks like to change some of your habits or tweaks and things like that. So that's a really big part of the puzzle, definitely.
And how can people get involved in your community initiative, Let's Talk?
Well, we will pop the link in our show notes. And just to remind everybody that we are running a very special promo offer that if anyone joins today, they will join for the lifetime fee of $99 per year. It's a subscription, which you can get out of at any time as well. But that will be your lifetime fee and you'll be classed as a founding member. Also, if you join before the 21st of April, you get to bring a friend along for free. So for this year, you have a friend that will come along. So think of it a bit about safety in numbers. And so that's a promo that we're running right now. And we'd love for you to jump in and join us and be part of our weekly meetups and all the wonderful conversations we're having in there as well.
So this podcast is all about power and finding, nurturing, and using our personal power as we transition through the life phases in this perimenopause and beyond. I'd love to know from each of you, what is your experience of how you've come into your own power?
I love that we have been asked this question because we ask all of our guests this question and now we get to answer it. I'm so excited. Thanks, Rose. Look, for me, and it really is probably similar to what a lot of our other guests share, but for me, just aligning with how I want to live my life has been really pivotal for me. And this goes right back to when I had my daughter and again, I returned to work and the stress and the juggle and the overwhelm. And I remember taking a moment to say, this is bullshit. This isn't how life should be. I need to understand how it is that I want to live my life. What does that look like from a work perspective? What's the type of mother I want to be? Wife, friend, whoever. So for me, just knowing my values, understanding what's important to me and setting goals and just choosing that this is how I want to live my life has been really pivotal in me coming into my power.
Nice one, Nat. You know, for me, I think education, Nat and I shared a number of times on our podcast that we are lifelong learners and we will keep learning and learning. It's just something that we love doing. But having that ability to learn and educate myself around my body, my life is very powerful. And I think the other thing is around you are the captain of your life. You do, and you should be doing what makes you feel great and healthy, and being able to live the longest life possible with, you know, those around you that you love. And I think that we tend to shun that self-care or decision making that is for us alone. It's okay, we can make those great decisions for everyone else, but to actually do them alone or for yourself only is really shunned by society. And I think there's a real element out there thinking, oh, that's just selfish. It's not selfish. So self-care and education are probably the things that have allowed me to really come into my own power and just grab, you know, navigate those in the way that I'm comfortable with and that makes me happy.
Well, on behalf of all women and men out there, I want to thank you both because this is essential work and it is a calling and a passion for both of you. But I know there's a lot of blood, sweat and tears and a lot of hard work that goes on behind the scenes. I've been fortunate enough to witness that. And I can't thank you both enough for shining a light on something that is so important for all of us to be involved in, a part of the dialogue and learning. Learning is absolutely key to everything. And, you know, Nat, as you said, passing on that legacy, that baton to our future generations, you know, for your girl, for your daughter, for your boys, it's how we all want to show up in the world. And it's such important work that you're doing. So thank you both for having me along. I'm delighted to be a part of this conversation and I cannot wait to see what the future holds for both of you and Own Your Health Co and all the wonderful initiatives that you're bringing to your business and your offering. Thank you.
Thanks, Rose.
Thank you so much, Rose. And we appreciate you coming on as our interviewer for this podcast. It's been great. And you are always just such a source of wisdom and love and passion yourself. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Perimenopause Power. If you found today's episode empowering, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Your journey through perimenopause just got a whole lot brighter.
And of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review. Your feedback helps us empower even more women on this transformative journey. Until next time, keep embracing your perimenopause power.